Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. This is the third of three lessons on passages relating to marriage, divorce, and remarriage, and so we're studying today from Romans chapter 7 and 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And these lessons are so important, especially in light of the permissiveness in society and the moral laxity and the lack of proper consideration for the sanctity of marriage that dominates the minds of so many people. God's law on this theme has been the same from the beginning until now. The basic factors of His will remain. Marriage is for life. Divorce is allowed, but only for one cause, which is fornication. Remarriage is permissible for those whose mates have died, or for those whose mates were put away because that mate was guilty of fornication. Remarriage under other circumstances is adultery. And only the one who is innocent of fornication in the event of divorce has the right to remarry. The guilty does not have such a right. And those who enter into a marital union when either party is not marriageable enters into an adulterous union. Now I want to read to you the text from Romans chapter 7, the first 7 verses. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth? For the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if, while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. But when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law had said, Thou shalt not covet. Now the theme of the book of Romans deals in part with the relationship of the law of Moses to the law of Christ. And Paul used marriage to illustrate this relationship. Like Ephesians chapter 5 regarding Christ and the church, marriage is used to define and to describe certain truths. And being used, of course, enables us to understand certain truth regarding marriage. Paul was speaking to those who were knowledgeable of God's law and what it allowed and what it required. Verses 2 and 3 emphasize that marriage is for life. Remarriage is permissible upon the death of one of the mates. Now this does not negate the exception to a lifelong rule of marriage that's taught in Matthew 5 and Matthew 19, which is fornication. It simply states the general rule and the original intent. Christ did, in his teaching, include the one exception, fornication. Now marriage is for life. It is dissolved at death, Mark 12, verse 26. And also, you see in 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 29 on this point. Remarriage, however, while one's mate is alive, constitutes adultery. Now, there's nothing complicated about that passage. It simply does not include the exception, as does the teaching of Jesus and Matthew. No, the passages do not contradict. It's simply that one includes information that the other does not take into consideration. But they do not contradict one another. It takes both to know the full will of God. The application of Romans 7 was that, as one is bound to a mate as long as he lives, he is not bound upon death, and nobody is now bound to the law of Moses, because Paul said, we are dead, separated from that law. That law has been nailed to the cross, Colossians 2:14. It's been taken out of the way, Hebrews 10 and verse 9. It's been fulfilled, Matthew 5:17 and 18. Such is also the theme of the book of Galatians and the book of Hebrews. Christians are married to Christ. They are delivered from the old law, verse 6 and 7, even the law that includes the Ten Commandments, the tenth of these Ten Commandments being specifically noted. And while it remains true that we are bound by nine of the Ten Commandments, the fourth being the exception of remembering the Sabbath day, this is true because these nine are also included in the law of Christ. They are taught by the authority of Christ. We are amenable to them not because of the authority of Moses and the law that came through him. But the important point to learn here regarding marriage is that it was intended to last until death do thee part. Remarriage prior to separation by death is adultery. But remember, the Lord's one exception, of course, to this rule, fornication. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, 10 through 16, has been misused by some to claim that Paul taught a second reason for divorce, in addition to fornication, as was taught by Christ. This so-called second reason is said to be desertion. Some call it the Pauline privilege, contending that the deserted mate can remarry, even though fornication does not exist. But the chapter does not concern itself with divorce and remarriage at all. It does not give a second reason for divorce. It is concerned with the conduct of a Christian who is married to a non-Christian and who faces a potential or already existing separation. Listen now to the passage. And unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. But, and if she depart, let her remain unmarried, or be reconciled to her husband. But let not the husband put away his wife. But to the rest I speak, not the Lord, if any man hath a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. And the woman which hath a husband which believeth not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband, or as your children were unclean, but now they are holy. But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases. But God hath called us to peace. For what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband? Or how knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife? Now it should be obvious that it is not necessarily sinful in itself for a Christian to be married to a non-Christian. This is certainly not an encouragement to such a relationship. But if it were sinful, and to be married to a non-Christian, Paul surely would have commanded the Christian to leave that marriage. This is a death blow, however, to those who contend God's marriage laws are not applicable to anyone but Christians. How could his law be applicable to the Christian and not to the non-Christian? They were married in the sight of the Lord and to each other, and God recognized the legitimacy of that marriage. If that were not so, their children would not be legitimate. But Paul says they were. Furthermore, the Christian is taught not to leave the Christian mate. But other passages teach the Christian to try to convert the mate. They are not to put away their mate if their mate is unwilling to continue to live with them as husband and wife, however. But the loyalty of the Christian belongs first to Christ. If the non-Christian mate wishes to leave, the Christian is to simply let them leave rather than surrender loyalty to Christ. This chapter deals with the choice that possibly is imposed upon Christians who are married to non-Christians. Shall I follow Christ, or shall I leave Christ and follow my mate? The answer Paul gives is clear, and it is plain. Christ must always be first with every Christian. Please consider the phrase, not under bondage. that some say means the Christian is no longer under the marriage bond. Friend, the word bondage is from the word doulou, which means a bond slave, a servile condition. It is used 134 times in the New Testament, and unless this is the single exception, it never refers to the marriage bond. Marriage is not that kind of relationship, anyway. The bondage which the Christian is not under is not the marriage bond. Another word, deo, is used 44 times in the New Testament and refers to the marriage bond. It is used twice in this chapter to mean the marriage bond in verses 27 and 39. And deo, not doulou, refers to the marriage bond. Paul made a distinction. We must recognize that distinction. When Paul told the Christian he or she is not under bondage, he used the word doulou. Therefore, he is not teaching that a deserted Christian is free to remarry and is free from the marriage bond. It means the Christian was never bound more to the mate than to Christ. Is the deserted believer free to remarry? Why, the answer is no. Divorce and remarriage is not what's under consideration. These options are not open to the deserted Christian. The option open are either to be reconciled or else remain unmarried, verses 10 and 11. The Christian may not be able to prevent the separation, but that does not grant the Christian another reason for divorce. This is a protection of the sanctity of the institution of marriage. And we might add that inasmuch as God intends marriage to be for life, it should be evident that God does not sanction separation except it be with mutual consent and for a good cause. Let him depart does not necessarily mean an irreconcilable condition. It's not the same as a divorce. If separated, the Christian must remain unmarried, or they should be reconciled, which would become impossible, of course, if remarriage was permitted. The occasion for separation is not for petty, trivial differences. While there is wisdom in a temporary separation to, as we might say, clear the head under some circumstances, such is not God's intent for marriage. But the major point we wish to stress here is that the passage, although misused at times to contend for error, does not permit divorce and remarriage with desertion as the grounds. There remains the one ground for divorce, and that is fornication, as is taught in Matthew 5 and Matthew 19. Friend, the seriousness of these lessons cannot likely be overstressed. Those who live in adultery shall be lost eternally, Galatians 5:19, Colossians 3:5. Those who would teach people that they can remain in an adulterous relationship should ask themselves if they think they can be saved while teaching people to remain in conditions that will cause the soul to be lost. The early church disciplined those who were in adultery, 1 Corinthians 5. They sought to restore them through repentance, urging them to change their minds to the extent that they changed their lives. They were not taught, nor were brethren content to fellowship those who remained in sin. Such discipline is essential lest the church become known as a haven for adulterers, even as they continue in adultery. What influence can the church have toward sustaining the sanctity of the home and marriage if that which is taught undermines the very basic and fundamental elements of marriage as God gave it? The home is a divine institution, and sexual morality of the nation is vital to its success. This depends upon our knowledge and our respect for the law of God. If one contemplates marriage, be sure that both of you have the right toward marriage, the right attitude toward marriage, that you are marriageable according to thus saith the Lord. Otherwise, you enter into the dark despair of earthly sorrow, and eventually an eternity in hell. And we repeat as we close these lessons, the classes of those the Bible teaches who may marry. 1, those who have never married. 2, those who have married but whose mate has died. 3, those who have married but have put away their mate because their mate was guilty of fornication. That is the way that is right and cannot be wrong. We simply plead for all to respect God's law. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.